Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on, guys? It is your boy Dylan at Thunder Chats coming to you with our presenting sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is capital letters BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunzinger at Thunder Chats. We're part of the BELIEVE network. This podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. It feels weird missing a pod, but, you know, back at it. Shout out to Tierney. You know, we got him here to my left, my right, whatever. Rock the solo pod, interacted on the chat. Tierney, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. We were talking about before we started. We've got two games to cover today. I was not awake for the end of either one. It was a tough week in terms of late night games, but you know, still, you know, it was good to at least split them. Definitely thought that was not the split we were going to have. If anything, I thought it'd be the other way around. But hey, still feeling pretty good in general about this team. In terms of just anything else, allergies are kicking my butt. I don't know if people can tell on the YouTube. I'm getting like friggin' stuff around the eye. It's getting red and puffy, and I don't like it.
Conjunctivitis.
It's not that, I can confirm. It's not pink eye or anything like that. It's just, this happens every spring, every summer, and I hate it. So I'm going through it, but I'm churning on. I'm going along.
You do know that, like, you do know that roach droppings tend to exacerbate any type of allergies that you have. So Doug Beck,
got rid of those.
Get on that, man. Get on that.
Yes.
I got rid of them also, months ago.
Also, we are joined by a very special guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us today, he was on Around the Horn. He was on many different shows in ESPN2. He appeared on First Take with Skip Bayless before it was cool. Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to be joined by Woody Page.
Wow. Woody Page.
You got the whiteboard behind you. I'm sorry. I had to.
Okay. I didn't know what direction that was going at all.
I saw the whiteboard. I was like, oh, wow, this is perfect. Yeah. Like, much bigger whiteboard than Woody Page ever had. But
hey, yeah, no. Nice. Do I need to write some shit back there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just keep, whenever one of us is talking and you want to get something out, just go over there and write on the board.
Yeah, I can't handle this one. So.
I love it. That's amazing. But yeah, we got Alex here, Batman in the Batcave. Actually, he's in the I guess it is the Batcave. So shout out Alex, rocking with us here. So
yeah,
boys, as Tierney touched on, we played two games since Tierney was on the pod. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. We're gonna talk about both of them.
Are you externally picking your nose?
I'm rubbing my nose.
Okay. It's great podcast.
I have allergies, Alex.
What the hell are they talking about on the podcast?
Allergies.
He has allergies. Maybe. But hey, we're going to talk about these two games in the segment we call the single large item. And we are back with the single large item. I don't know why I said we're back. We didn't go anywhere. But here we go, single large item. I'm going to kick it to Alex for this one. Alex, you have the honors of the first single large item for the Phoenix Suns game.
I mean, the lowest hanging fruit, man, is SGA, man, just cementing. You know, this was, both of these games technically were on national TV. I know the Lakers NBA TV game. I mean, that's it's a fake national TV game, but the Phoenix game was actually a nationally televised game, mm-hmm. and hell of a game to go ahead and kind of, you know, kind of just build your MVP campaign after, you know, after the All-Star break. What did he have? 35 points, like mm-hmm. 8 rebounds, 7 assists.
Nine assists.
Like, what was it, 2 blocks or 3 blocks and 1 steal?
Steals, 3 blocks.
There you go, yeah. Just all over the place, just kind of cementing what he's done this whole season, which is to play both ends of the floor, and just kind of taking over whenever we needed him to take over. Like, he was, you know, he was omnipresent throughout the entire game, and it was just a sight to behold, and it was a good thing that it happened on national TV because the next day, of course, everybody was talking about it. Everybody was in preparation also for the Lakers game. But everybody was talking about that Phoenix Suns game. And, you know, of course, there's the narrative with Kevin Durant and all that. And we beat them. And it was a good game. It was a great game. You know, it was a game that saw ebbs and flows. It was a game that saw us fall behind, go up large, have a Dallas-like almost 30-0 run against us to kind of put us down again in the fourth quarter, and then kind of just come back from that. So it was just a great game to see and a great game for Shea's MVP campaign.
Yeah, the MVP race, I thought, was definitely took a step in a very, very large positive direction after that mm-hmm. game, because it wasn't only the stats he put up, but we've seen it every night. His acrobatic performances on some of these finishes are just like jaw dropping every single time. And the one, I'm probably forgetting a whole bunch, but I remember the one towards the end of the fourth, when it was actually a pretty close game. It was like, I feel like it was in like, we were up by like 25 or something like that in the third, and then they 24. Came back and got it. Yeah, 24. And then they got it like pretty much anybody's game by the time the fourth quarter came around. They went on a crazy run in the late stretch of the third quarter. But kind of in that fourth quarter, when it was pretty much now clutch time again, the two of the plays I remember, I don't remember if they happened like back to back or if there was a few possessions in between, but offensively, Shea was being pretty well guarded. I forget who, but he had sort of like a floater bank shot that I think ended up being an and one, if I remember correctly. That happened pretty late. And then on the other end, later on, again, it might have been a few possessions later, but he very casually just blocked Kevin Durant, which was like, yeah, that doesn't seem to happen very often. So there was a few more plays there that was just like, I think there was another one very early in the game where he had a ridiculous like pump fake in the air and then reverse layup on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those types of plays like were just perfect for the national spotlight. We see him every night, but not everybody does. And then you put on the fact that it was against, you know, Kevin Durant, and it was sort of like passing along the torch. That kind of like that message was kind of getting thrown around on Twitter a little bit. So all of that kind of came together. It was like, yeah, he's the guy. He's an MVP. He's my MVP. He's our MVP, I think. And we're not going to talk yet about the Lakers game because that was a little bit of a different story. But if we're just looking at the Phoenix game at that point, he was a pretty strong candidate.
Yeah. And the other thing with Shea, man, and you know, this is something we've seen throughout his career in OKC, is just once again, just showing up and taking over in the clutch. Shout out Cone, our boy Connor, tweeted it out at his Twitter @3_Cone. If you're not one of the 89,000 people following him, what are you doing? But in the final 4 minutes and 42 seconds, the final buzzer, the Thunder scoring was a Shea step back mid-range, Shea layup, Shea fadeaway mid-range, Shea bank shot. Jalen Williams had a step back three, or actually a step back mid-range, and then Shea had a free throw. That's 9 points in the final 4 minutes to close out the game on the Suns. Mm-hmm. Like Tierney said, or maybe it was Alex. I don't know. One of you guys said that it was a Dallas Mavericks-like run. It was Alex. It was Woody Page, 100%.
Page, yeah.
You know, he was the steadying force, you know, coming out of that second half specifically, but also, like, you know, just in the fourth quarter, like, carrying us home, like, he was insane. you know, I mean, we're talking about the offense, but I mean, the fact that he got six stocks in this game on top of everything that he did, the fact that he only had one turnover in this game on top of everything else he did, like, he played a masterful game. The one blemish in his game, he was 0 of 5 from deep, but hey, even Rip after 0 of 5 from deep, he only dropped to 38.1% for the season. So 50-40-90 is still in play because the average went up, I think, to 38.3 after the Lakers game. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yeah, Shai is Shai's insane. And, you know, I do want to mention this because, you know, as I was saying, you know, Shai's playing at MVP level, you know. He's had a lot of, like, really good games, the statement games. And, you know, there's a possibility that statement game still hasn't happened. That was definitely one of them. Like,
I think that was one. Yeah, I think if the Lakers game didn't happen, I was gonna mention this comment too. I think that would have been the statement game because I think we're looking at that in a totally different light. But now we've got kind of a bad taste in our mouth because of the, you know, the game that happened on Monday.
I don't think that should take away from what happened.
I know it doesn't, but our view is a little bit different because that's the most recent performance we've seen. I think if Shai had like a normal, quote unquote, normal 30-point game, even with a loss, I think the national opinion would be a little bit different. Not saying, not taking it away. It's just the national, you know, that's, you got to think of it in like in that context a little bit.
I mean, if last night's loss was to Sacramento, nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares. But last night's loss was to the Lakers. And so that gets, you know, the bright light gets shown on that a little bit brighter because it is the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah. That all plays into the equation of MVP. It's how you're viewed on a national scale. So what take it or leave it.
I would say though that if the Thunder are a top two seed and Shai is maintaining this level of play on both ends, and there's no reason to think he's going to slow down because he's only improved as the season's gone on, and he's above, like, if the Thunder are above the Denver Nuggets, like, I don't see, like, Jokic is awesome. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's not. He's probably the best player in the world. But in terms of the spirit of the award, the most valuable player, like, who's the most valuable player of the team, like, if you take a team that was a 10 seed last year and they're the 1 or the 2 seed, like, that far ahead of schedule, you know, there's some factors that come into play, but like, you have taken a leap in every aspect of the game, like you do when you get in the lab in the off season, you get to work. But you know, you've taken that leap, so like, you are directly responsible for, you know, this team's turnaround. And if you finish above that guy, like, it's specifically like, I understand Jokic. I think it's a two-man race. I think it's between Jokic and Shai. I get so sick of seeing people talk about Luka should be in the MVP discussion because of the stats he's putting up. The stats he's putting up are awesome. He's in the playing game right now, okay? Like, Shai was putting up great stats last year. He was in the playing game. He was like, I think he finished 5th in MVP voting. Yeah. Luka could finish 5th. He could finish 4th. I don't care. He doesn't belong in that top 3, in my opinion, based on how his team success is going, because, you know, part of the MVP is like, you know, his team success, like, you know,
performance,
And shout out Alex, who was on a podcast the other day. I'm not going to roast the guy, but, you know, the guy had some weird points and Alex stood his ground and was like, listen, man, like, A, B, C, D, like, you know, this is why Shai should probably be MVP.
Yeah, I think what you said though, Dylan, about how they have to be over the Denver Nuggets. I think even if they're a top two seed, if Denver is the 1 seed, I don't think he's. I think Jokic has it. So it is.
I mean,
it is very
he deserves
much,
it at that point because the West is a bloodbath.
Yeah,
and the top three is a bloodbath.
Yeah, there's. I think it's separated by half a game right now between those top three seeds. So it's cramped right now. But Denver, they're in that mix. So half a game back, they've won 6 straight too. They're playing really well. But you know, they could very easily be the 1 seed.
Second half of the season stretch for them. That's a veteran team right there. They've done it before.
Yeah. So it's very possible we see that. I could see Denver, OKC, Minnesota. In that order at the end of the season, just because yeah, like you said, Denver's the veteran team. I still don't. Minnesota is just a weird team. I keep thinking that they're going to take a little bit of a step back, but they're sticking around that 69-70% win percentage. So,
yeah, I think with the MVP, I think narrative plays a lot into it, and the new shiny toy, and I think the Thunder and SGA are the new shiny toy for the NBA. And I do think, like you said, if he finishes above Jokic, and it's a spirited battle as far as like those three teams, you know, going to the last game of the season type situation, and you know the Thunder end up with it, I do think it's almost not unanimous, but it's almost like pretty clearly it's going to be Shea's going to be the MVP, because you know. This is kind of the same thing happened to Jokic last year. You know, Jokic was putting up great numbers, you know, comparable numbers to the first two MVP awards. But a lot of the voters, a lot of everybody was kind of like, can we move on to something else? And it became Embiid, you know, and Embiid, he deserved it. Don't get me wrong. But if you're going to, you know, give somebody an award 2 years before that and they're putting up comparable stats that year, but you give it to somebody else, you know, it kind of just shows that there's a kind of like an old hat type situation where, you know, it's old news. Let's get something new. Let's get something shiny. So I think SGA may fall into that. Well deserved, don't get me wrong, but, you know, media narrative is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, hey, we've talked a lot about Shea, and I'm sure we'll continue talking about Shea. There's actually a segment we'll be talking about Shea later, but let's get into some of the other aspects of this game. Tierney, if you're prepared, I will give you the next large item.
I completely forgot we were still in single large item. We had such a crazy detour there, which I appreciated.
Spirited discussion.
Trying to remember what in that Suns game I really liked.
I can go ahead and go if you're still looking.
You can go. Fire away.
All right. Aaron Wiggins say basketball, man.
He did.
Like,
and he thanked us, too.
He does every night.
Yeah, he does every night. He was huge in this game. He came in off the bench, gave a huge lift. Didn't hit a single three, but, like, his impact was felt. He was a team-high plus 18 in the plus-minus, 7 points, three rebounds, four steals, and a block, which four steals I feel like might be a season high for Aaron.
Career
Williams.
High.
Career high. Okay, yeah, there you go. Definitely season high then. Yeah, shot 3-6 from the field, and, like, his impact, specifically in the fourth quarter, I believe he played the entire fourth quarter just, you know, anticipating, like, reading passing lanes, getting out there, you know, deflecting balls, like, being in the right place offensively. Like, he's just doing all the right things. And, you know, Jalen Williams, you know, Dub, he said in postgame, he's like, you know, people like to make memes about, you know, him saving basketball, but, like, beyond the memes, like, for a guy to come in and, you know, not really, you know, kind of have a feel of, like, what's going on in the game, like, you know, just kind of throwing him in there, and for him to know his role and to, you know, be able to make an impact, like, that's special. That's huge, mm-hmm. you know, for a team like a contender like this. You know, when some of your other guys are struggling, you know, to have that guy on the bench that you can rely on to come in and step up is absolutely huge. So, yeah, shout out Aaron Wiggins, saving basketball once again.
Yeah, definite rotation piece for the playoffs. Yeah. I think, you know, at the beginning of the season, I literally think that every post-game thing, we kind of had a rant, you know, every couple games where we were like, why is Aaron Wiggins not playing? Why is Aaron Wiggins not playing? And I think now finally we're, you know, the shackles are off and we're seeing him get those, you know, get those consistent rotation minutes and the impact that he can have from just, you know, small standpoint as far as minutes go. But a huge impact on the game from time to time. So, and a huge impact in big games, not just like playing against the Pistons, playing against Wizards, whoever. You know, this was a game against a bona fide playoff contending team that may be disappointing because of injuries and things like that. But when they get into the playoffs, this team, if they're healthy, is going to be a beast, just like the Lakers are going to be. And so, you know, throwing him out there, him performing like he did, it's a great thing to have, man. It's a great thing to have.
Yeah. I was trying to find I agree with all those things. I don't have much else to add, but I was trying to find the clip of Brandon Raybar, I think, was the first person to put it out. Aaron Wiggins acknowledging those who believe in him saving basketball.
You know. He's like a superhero.
He's just like, thanks, guys. Appreciate you all. I have saved basketball. It is true. And I appreciate all the fans. But yeah,
Hey, you saved basketball. Hey, I'm only just Aaron Wiggins.
I'm just Aaron Wiggins. Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, I feel like we're a broken record, but it is crazy that he's a rotation piece for us now. And he was the 58th pick in the draft?
55 out of Maryland.
55, yep. Yeah. Something crazy. Yeah. It's awesome. That's why second round picks matter. Just saying.
That's true.
There you go. Second round picks matter. All right, Tony, are you prepared for your single large item?
I think so, but I'm also a little, I don't know. I'm going to throw something out there. I don't think you're going to like it.
Josh Giddey.
This is kind of, you read my mind. Josh Giddey. This is kind of bleeding into the Lakers game too, because I don't know. It's hard for me to like compartmentalize both, but I'm thinking of both now. And he's been pretty okay the last couple of games. he's been pretty okay.
I love how that's the benchmark.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you got to be at this point. That's what you got to ask from him. You're not expecting greatness at this point. You want him to be okay. And in the Lakers game, it really didn't matter because like the shooting sucked ass and all that. But he was making the right plays for the most part. There was a couple times where it was like, you're doing a little bit too much, which is why I'm saying he did an okay job. But like 2 of 4 from three, they're leaving him wide open. So yeah, if you can make 2 of 4 from three, sure. Let's just take it and call it a win and move on. And the fact that he didn't turn over the ball in this game either, that's solid. I know this is ridiculously low benchmarks that we're hitting here, but I gotta say, like, if we can get an
So I got the low hanging fruit, like this fruit, like you need to ride on a giraffe to get these fruits right here.
Firefighter like cherry pickers. Like get to. The
I feel top. Like every time. I feel like every time we have three people on the podcast, we didn't do it today, but I always feel like it's like Shay and J Dub and Chet, and it's like always the same three. It's like, hey, mix it up a little bit. And I know
I already mixed it up.
You said Aaron Wiggins, but I looked at Chet. Like Chet was like, I'll be honest, I wasn't super happy with Chet's performance tonight.
Well, he got clocked in the head.
He did get Nurkic got him pretty good, and he was owning him physically, as which I think we kind of expected. He had 12 rebounds in the first quarter?
31 rebounds.
Yeah, 12.
7 minutes in the first quarter.
It was insane. Like, he was just dominating, which, again, not too super surprised, but just wasn't super, I don't know. I'm not going to say, that wasn't a good game from Chet, from what we know he can do. And J-Dub was fine. Like, he was decent. He was pretty average. Efficiency wise, to take a lot of shots, which I liked.
Average.
Average. Great.
10-19, I guess. 10-19.
Great.
Josh Giddey's benchmark is for Tierney, and you see what Jalen Williams' benchmark is.
I expect greatness from J-Dub. I expect greatness from him, and I mean he was really good, but it just was again trying to mix it up a little bit. I thought Josh Giddey was okay.
And I think the best thing that Josh Giddey did in this whole game was have the walking ability to go to the bench 3 minutes into the game. Like, I think that's the greatest thing he did in this game.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. The fact that that unlocked everything. Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm thinking back on it. That was a really bad pick because now that I'm remembering, that was when it was what? It was like 11 to
17
2
to 4, something like that.
Yeah, it was 11-2 Suns, something like that. Josh checks out, and then we end up winning the quarter like 27-24. So it was just like, I'm definitely thinking of the Lakers game now that I'm kind of putting
great job walking through that bench, Josh. Great job.
Thank you for saying that. I just unlocked that memory there. I was like, he did not play well that first quarter.
Listen, I mean, numbers.
He made two threes, though.
You said, you know, he hit two threes, like, absolutely. But, like, at the same time, there's a reason. Like, he's hitting those two. Like, there's a reason he's getting those
wide open.
Like, the offense wants him to shoot the ball. Because if Josh Giddey is shooting the ball from three, there's a lower chance it's going in, but that's not the ball in the hands of Shea, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. It's not Isaiah Joe shooting. It's not Kaysom Wallace shooting. It's not Aaron Wiggins doing something. Like, that is, like, their goal. Like, they would rather Josh Giddey shoot than Lou Dort. Like, Lou Dort's starting to get close out a little bit now. Like,
yeah,
the picture of, like, the disrespect of Josh Giddey just walking to the three-point line, Nurkic took steps back before that shot went up.
Yeah.
Like that was like a full 15-foot difference, like space between them.
That has to mess with people's confidence, man, when that happens.
He just clanked it too. Such a tough video, tough clip.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, like Russ dealt with the same thing, but like, you know, you kind of gave him a runway to like, you know, take off and like attack the basket.
He's got the physicality.
Josh Giddey don't got that explosiveness and athleticism. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen him try to, you know, kind of attack it, and then, you know, it results in the floater, which isn't as money as it was the rookie year. But, like, I'm not trying to beat up on Josh Giddey. Like, Josh Giddey discourse is cooked. Like, no matter if you're for him or against him, like, you're not going to make anybody happy. I stand by that it'd be mutually beneficial for both sides to part ways. I think Josh Giddey can be a good basketball player, but we're not in a position to cater to him. We're not in a position to baby him. Like, we're ready for this next level, and he's still kind of in the developmental phase. And he's like, that's cool. You know, that's perfectly on time for a player like that. But we're ready for more. So that's kind of.
So looking ahead, I know we're probably not going to do this in this season, at least anytime soon, maybe the playoffs. But what is because on Twitter, when that whole first quarter happened, everyone was, because I think it was Hayward that came in for Giddey, if I remember correctly. And everyone was like, just keep him, put him in the starting lineup. But Hayward's defense has been pretty good, but offensively, he still looks kind of awkward. He's getting into the flow of it a little bit. But he, to me, is like a guy that would be okay with slotting him in Josh's position just seeing what happens. But again, that's probably
a very three at this point.
He has tried. I don't think he try in the Lakers game.
He took one, but it was my garbage time. Like, I don't count that. Like,
that's right.
He's just letting it fly.
Yeah. He needs to. He does need it. He was 1 of 3 yesterday, or not yesterday.
Yeah, he's been rebounding like solidly in his limited.
He's aggressive. Yeah, he's like his aggression is there. He just he just kind of feels a little awkward out there still. So I'm hoping that changes with time.
Yeah, I think his defense is better than I thought it would be. You know, just positionally, like, you know, he really competes. He knows where to be, and, you know, he's able to stay in front of his man. Offensively, like, even though he hasn't hit a single three for us, the defense respects him on the three-point line.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned Josh.
Can't hide your big man there.
No. Nah, you mentioned Josh Giddey going to the bench. Like, it wasn't just Giddey. It was Lou Dort as well. Like, Dort struggled early on. I think he hit like that corner three in the beginning of the game, and he didn't get going until the second half, really. But Giddey and Dort goes to the bench, Joe and Hayward comes in, and it's like the friggin' like Red Sea split open for Shea and Jalen Williams. Like, we're getting to the lane like nobody's business with those guys out there, because the floor spacing, the difference in spacing, and like, it's night and day. You can't deny it, no matter how you feel about any of these players. Like, it's very evident, the product on the court.
Can I throw in one more single large item? Second large item?
I was going to mention somebody too, but it might be who you're saying.
Lou Dort's defense on KD was a masterclass. Like, you know, KD always struggles with low center of gravity guys, PJ Tucker, Chris Paul, those types of guys. Patrick Beverley. And Lou Dort, of course, kind of falls into that realm also. And he did a great job, man. He pushed him out of his comfort spots on the floor. He harassed him. He made it uncomfortable for him all night, to the point where he, like, you know, it almost seemed like Kevin Durant was asking for help from the refs throughout the game. And it was just a great job. Like, that is exactly what you look for when you're talking about a Lou Dort game. Like, he didn't necessarily have it too much on the offensive end as far as efficiency wise, but defensively, this is why this is why he's on the floor. This is why we gave him that extension, is because when the playoffs come around, you're going to need that guy to be guarding the best player on the other team. And so that was just an example of that in a primetime game, in a primetime spot.
Yeah, 6 of 15 and 5 turnovers from KD. That's, yeah, you don't get that a lot from a Hall of Famer.
And it wasn't just Dort. Like, Shai got switched on to multiple times. Yeah, yeah, made it very difficult for him. You know, forcing turnovers, contesting with,
I feel like Isaiah Joe got in there a couple times, if I remember correctly. It could be.
I mean, Jalen Williams.
Yeah, Jalen Williams was there. Wiggs was there. I think Kenrich
Wiggins had a possession on him. Yeah, it was Wiggins. Yeah, I'm mixing up Wiggins and Joe.
I will say this. I was about to fight TV because freaking Grayson Allen tried to take a cheap shot on SGA at the end of the game. He's a horrible
human being. Yep.
I didn't
see that.
Yeah, yep. He did.
He's a horrible human being. He's the worst. Ass. There was a video of Shai in like a transition play where he just kind of like did a crossover and Grayson Allen just stopped in his tracks, had no idea what to do. And I was like, this is one of the greatest videos of all time. I need more of these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Froze him on that one.
Shout out to
Grayson Allen, you know, playing defense like I play defense, you know, just like being all up in the dude. And, you know, Shai on the spin move, you know, his head inadvertently hit him. I broke my glasses for playing defense like that before. Like, you know, I know from experience, dude, you're not getting that call ever. Like, it's like your head shouldn't be in my, you know, dribbling space. Like, that's just kind of like basketball 101. I'm like, the whole challenge and like reviewing the call saga was just like legendary.
That was hilarious.
I love how they reviewed it and they was like, yes, it is it's a foul on SGA. And Mark's just like, nah, look at that again.
Try like, again. Yes, it's a foul on SGA.
Redo. Run it back.
Run it back. Hey, Squints was right, as Squints usually is. You know,
there you go, Squints.
He doesn't get many Squints a game, but when he gets one, it's gonna be a good one. So, yeah, I think we can move on from the Suns game.
Why? This one was so much fun.
It was fun. We didn't have a lot of fun with the Lakers game. So, on the other side of this break, I have a little bit of a game and a little bit of a tease of something I'm working on before we get to the Lakers game.
Okay.
And we're back after that break. So, guys, like we said, we're going to talk about the Lakers game. But before we get into that, because, you know, we want to keep the good vibes rolling. We want to have fun. We're going to play a little bit of a game. So, I don't know if you guys have noticed. I pointed this out on Twitter a few times. Going back to 2021, I've got receipts of when I first posted out the stats. Shai plays worse in red shoes. He just does. And I'm working on like compiling data to support my theory, but I'll go ahead and tell you.
Is this going
to
be an article?
Yeah, it's going to be an article.
Hey.
Yeah.
OKCTopicThunder.com.
Yes. We're working on it. It will be coming out in the coming days. I've compiled all the games like from this year. You know, I went back and looked at every single game at what color shoes he had, and I've compiled all the data. First, I want to ask you guys, first person that comes up with it gets a point. We'll do like first to three here. What shoe has Shai worn the most? What color shoe?
I think you told me this before we started.
Blue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Alex's guess. Dude.
I'm like almost, unless I'm misremembering what you said, but I'm pretty sure you said gray.
It was gray.
Yeah, was you gray. Told me before. Yeah.
Insider knowledge. Insider information.
I had a little bit of advantage.
This is already cooked.
And up. I knew that before.
The Thunder are 16-4 when Shai wears gray shoes.
Okay, that's a very good winning percentage.
Everyone buy him red shoes or all right. Gray shoes.
The next question: how many? Here, let me see here. So there are 11 different colorways of shoes. All right, how many colorways does the Thunder have a losing record when Shai wears that colorway?
Two.
This season.
Okay.
Alex says two.
It can't be more than two, right? They've only lost 19.
I mean, go ahead and price is right, man.
Yeah. Well, it was three.
Three?
Well, that's not where I expected it to go. It is this one. Way. There is one colorway, the Thunder and Blues and Gregory.
I'm guessing it has red in it.
It is red. The red shoes. All right. Totally I said red. We're going to three, but we'll change it here. This is winner take all, the final game.
You answer first this time, Maddie.
Okay.
What is the second? Well, okay. Which shoe colorway has the second most played games in it?
Okay. Second most. I'll go blue.
Okay.
Pink.
Pink is correct.
How is that? As soon as you said that, I was like, "That's a very Shea color." Like you were pink. Nice. That's awesome.
They are 5-3 with Shea wearing the pink shoes. Dang, nice. I just realized I forgot to add the purple shoes to my data here, so I will have to go back and do that. So that's a little tease coming up for you, but yeah. I've been saying it since 2021. Shea, the Thunder play worse in red shoes. I'm working on the stats right now, but record-wise, we are 2-5 when Shea wears red shoes.
Not good.
Four of the losses have come here recently against the Lakers, the Spurs, the Mavericks, and the Jazz.
Ew.
Yes.
Sublime tweeted out all the photo evidence. We had the Spurs game. I think this is yesterday.
Yep.
Got the Mavs, the Kings, that's all the red. That's not the Kings. That's the Jazz. It would also make sense if it was the Kings, though. To be fair, but it was not. He did not wear red in the Kings game, probably.
Yeah, no. So, well, he did wear red early in the year, the first game against the Kings, and we lost as well. So that's another one.
There you go.
So that's your five losses. Pattern. Yeah. So hey. Just letting you know, the article's coming out here soon. Just got to finish compiling my data and might even get Dolan in on there, trying to get some Thunder graphs on there because he's awesome at that. So a little Top of Thunder collab action. So I'll be on the lookout for that.
Resident CPA.
Yes, absolutely. Let's get into the fun game last night.
Why?
That was the Lakers game.
Oh, so fun.
Started at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. 10:30 so for late. You, boy. Guys, my single large item, because hand up.
It's going to put these stats on the screen.
The first quarter, I had watched on mute because Chelsea was with me. We was hanging out. We didn't get to hang out much the night before because of the Suns game. I was watching it, but like I couldn't hear what was going on. There was two things that happened in the first quarter that kind of told me how this game was going to go for the Thunder. The first one, at the 11:07 mark, it says Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's call for a personal foul. Shout out my guy, Joel Lorenzi. This kind of matched what I saw on the TV. He says, I think they literally might have just changed the call to an SGA foul because LeBron argued it. And you know, you could see LeBron talking to the ref. You could see the ref motioning to the table. So, like, that checks out. The next thing that I saw, the next thing that happened, again, confirmed on Twitter, but, you know, kind of saw it happen. You know, Shea's backing somebody down, and all of a sudden, like, everybody stops, and they start walking back to the other end of the court.
No, like, 5 seconds. Happened?
I don't know. They called a 5-second back to the basket call in freaking 2024.
The National Basketball Association. That's like a high school call. Yeah. You see that all the time in high school.
College?
That's crazy, like, in the NBA.
Sheesh, man. That's like back when college had the 5-second closely guarded call. Like, what is this, man? Like, you can't play defense. You can't post up your man.
Can't play defense for too long.
Never seen Jokic. Never seen Embiid. Never seen freaking LeBron get that call called against him. Like, what's happening here, man? And after that, on top of seeing that our legs were just absolutely gone, there was no lift on half of our player shots, sans Lou Dort. I knew this game was going to be not a good one. And I subsequently fell asleep in the third quarter and did not wake up.
Yeah.
Ever. Dylan died.
Still asleep. What's to say?
Still asleep right now.
Dylan died.
I can't find the video in time, but there was another one. I think Cone put it in our group chat. It was like the very end of the half, and the Lakers got a fast break. And I think it was Rui gave it to LeBron.
Oh, yeah, and that whack-ass play.
They called and a foul. And like, Dort, like, touched his arm or his hand a little. I don't even know if he touched it, by the way. It was, like, the slightest of contact. And it did not affect him at all.
He might have touched his member. That's about it.
Didn't affect his shot at all. He just laid it up, and they called the whistle. And I was like, that's crazy, dude. That's the most LeBron call I've ever heard, ever seen. So, yeah, it was one of those nights. But all that said, we also just off shooting night, and the Lakers were on a shooting night. It was
horrible shooting night,
as they seem to be against us.
And horrible shooting night, and you know the things that we say about the Lakers came to fruition. Like their physicality just is different than most other teams, and they know how to use that physicality to their advantage. They know that if they're physical, more than likely they're going to get the whistle in their favor. It's been like that the entire season because I believe the Lakers have the biggest differential of, what is it, free throw attempts between the two teams that they play or something like that. They have a free throw advantage stat that they lead the league in. But, yeah, I mean, they know how to do that. They know how to use their physicality. And it's just one of those things where we either have to match their physicality as best as we can, because I know we can't match it, you know, one-to-one, but as best as we can, or we have to make our shots. And, you know, in the first game that we played against them, we made our shots, especially in that second quarter and the third quarter. The last three games we played against them has not been that case. You know, they've kind of run us out the gym. And so... It was just one of them games, man. It was one of those games, second night of back-to-back. You know, we usually don't say that about the Thunder because they're so young. But this deep into the season, with as much as we've played real games, games of consequence, you know, it starts to kind of get you. But, you know, like I think it was who said it was Cone that said that. There's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. So thank the good Lord.
Yeah, I think looking at the series now, Lakers are 3-1, and they're definitely a potential. Bye, Alex. They're a potential for like a playoff because of the seeding. Who knows where that's going to be? We can't really like talk about that yet because I think Thunder Focus put out something. Excuse me, sneeze.
Push.
The odds of our playoff opponent. It's like five teams are equal odds. So nobody has any idea who we're going to play. It's way too early. But the potential for the Lakers is there. And A, like you said, or like Alex said, not going to be a back-to-back. There's that. But you also look at like the fact that there's been multiple times we've been the second night of a back-to-back against this team. And then you look at the shooting the Lakers have in some of these games, and they're much higher than their average. And for not really any reason that has to do with the Thunder defense, because we know the Thunder have a good perimeter defense as far as like closeouts and you know, Shea, Kaysen, Dort, all those guys can handle it. But then you look at the numbers, so last night, they shot 51 from the field, 47% from three, 16 out of 34. So much higher than their season average of like 37%. The previous game against the Lakers was about their average, 33% from three, a little bit below. But then the other two before that was 50% from three on 32 attempts, 52% from the field. So both well above the average. And then the first game was, that was our only win, our first game. So that's when they actually shot about their average, 44 from the field, 33% from three. So the wins that they get are usually incredible shooting. And then on our end, I didn't read out those stats, but our shooting has also been pretty piss poor. But then if you look on the other side of like, what the Thunder want to do, winning the turnover battle, getting points off of turnovers. The Thunder did that. I think they were, it was like plus 10 in turnovers. I think we had 20, or they had 20 and we had 10, something like that. And then 21 to 10, excuse me. Oh, I see 20.
But, ESPN is 21.
I'm on NBA.com. They've got different numbers here. That's weird. But yeah, either plus 10 or plus 11, either way, very good. And getting considerably more points off turnovers. I don't have that number up. If you maybe
26 to 10.
26 to 10. Thank you. So yeah, that's like where the Thunder want to be. And they got there. But kind of like what you said, Dylan, the physicality, they've not been able to really figure out. Chet, especially in this game, was a little discombobulated. There was one shot. There was one play I remember. I fell asleep, so I rewatched it today. There was one play where Chet like had his guy on him, and AD was guarding whoever he was guarding behind him. He was like on the perimeter, and Chet, like, I don't know why, but he just kind of, he like did like a fadeaway, but it was like into AD. So all AD had to really do is like stick his hand out while he was shooting. And it was one of the easiest blocks ever. And to me, that was a very rookie move. Like, if you're a more seasoned NBA player, I don't think you would, he would not have taken that particular shot, especially with his guy on him, AD nearby. Easy for him to contest the shot at least. And there, that was just kind of like a play that was symbolic of the rest of his night, where he kind of had like no real good rhythm inside. Shooting wise, I don't think he did, like, outside, he was 2 of 6. Yeah, he wasn't very great from three either, but he just didn't feel very comfortable. And yeah, Kamel said something in the chat. We missed Jalen Williams, the other Jalen, that game. We definitely could have used him. Biombo was, that was not very good. That was a very, he just like congests the floor so much with his, with his presence. It's tough. So yeah, Jalen Williams definitely could have helped, but I don't know. Overall, as a team, there was a lot of problems shooting wise, on both ends. So,
hey, shout out Moose though. Moose made his debut against the Lakers, his former team.
Loved him to make a three before the garbage time though, but you know,
yeah,
get his shots in.
That was tough. You know, he's just shaking off the rust. You know, he forgot what it's like to play with the Thunder. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he played any minutes with Shea in this one, did he?
Yeah, most of his minutes were the garbage time. Did he come in the first half at all? Let me see.
So, yeah, he came in 6:13, left in the second. Shea came in 5:36. Yeah, he was in there with Shea. So,
okay, yeah,
I stand corrected. Yeah, I mean, I just remember that duo being so deadly, like on the pick and pop and stuff like that. So I,
yeah, Moose was 0-2 in that quarter, so not great. Yeah, but, shaking off the rust.
He started off cold, but it's all good. I think he'll be able to space the floor for us as the backup big, as long as the other Joe Williams boom is out. So yeah, it's all good. But no, this game was, you know, kind of within reach. Like, Shea came out in the at the end of the third, and from that point, you know, I think the plan might have been for him to try to come back in at his normal time if they was able to, you know, close the game a little bit. Dub very much struggled in this one at 7 points, 0 points at halftime, had 5 points going into the fourth quarter, and he hit a mid-range jump shot. But D'Lo hit back-to-back threes, the second of which prompted Dave to call timeout and sub Dub out. And from that point, like, it was over. Like, you know, Shea wasn't coming back in. Dub was out. Like, our starters were out. It wasn't long until the Lakers pulled their starters as well. You know, it was a 12-point game, but, like, at that point, it was 24-point lead, I believe, after that D'Lo three. So, you know, that just kind of, you know, it's – you take it on the chin, you know. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances out there, but at the end of the day, you know, as much as a win is a win, a loss is a loss. It sucks, but you learn from it, you bounce back, and you get ready for the next game.
Dub also made didn't shoot well, but he also was like taking the same shots he usually makes, and that was part of the reason why I was like kind of going back to the theme of like, was I'm not super worried about this loss, because you factor that into the equation as well, where it's like Dub is doing the same like mid-range left side, he makes those all the time, he just wasn't making them today, and I don't really know why, but he wasn't. So yeah, that's kind of another factor into all this too.
Yeah, it'd be all right though. I'm not worried about it. You know, I mean, Stephen A. Smith came out and said today, you know, he still thinks that the Thunder could beat the Lakers in a 7-game series, and he doesn't even want them to, because he doesn't want to go to Oklahoma City for the playoffs. But I kind of feel the same way. I feel like, you know, we're definitely trying to win games.
Don't want to come to Oklahoma City for the playoffs. Wow.
No, not that. I mean, I probably won't be able to come to Oklahoma City for the playoffs, but I definitely want to. But no, like, I get, like, there's a lot of, like, discourse out there with the matchup and how they're able to bully us and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I know we're trying to compete for seeding. We're jockeying for seeding. But I just believe in Mark Daigneault as a coach. And I think that there's adjustments that can be made. You know, I think that there's adjustments that can be made earlier in a game. I think that there's adjustments that can be made, you know, halfway through the series. Like, I think that there's like tools in Dave's tool bag that, you know, he's able to pull on, not just the Lakers, but other teams as well. Because that's part of the playoffs, is like the playoffs is like a chess match. Like, you know, it's, you know, I'm taking this away, what are you going to do about it? And you make an adjustment, and then, okay, well, I'm taking this away, what are you going to do about it? And it's just like an ongoing chess match. And based off of what we've seen from Mark Daigneault in the past few years, like I feel really good about it. So I'm not too worried about them as a playoff matchup. They're not my favorite one, because, you know, I'm more worried about LeBron than I am AD, you know, just because like playoff LeBron's an animal. But you know, at the same time, I'm not scared of nobody. Like, I think this team has the ability to beat anybody in the NBA in a 7-game series if they play the type of basketball we know they're capable of playing. And it's a big if. So
yeah, I think we're not going to talk about playoff matchups yet.
Not today.
But if we're tiering like where I want the Lakers, they're definitely higher than other teams in their like similar seeding. Just because of kind of all the things you said, it's hard to really think of like what the solution of that's going to be, in terms of like handling AD, other than just Chet needs to adjust. And it's hard to think of like what we're going to do lineup wise to make that work, but definitely still not like, if it's a 7-game series, I still don't think they win that. I just don't think they've got the same depth of lineup that we do. But LeBron is LeBron. So Thunder will lose to Mavs in the first round. West will be decided between the Mavs and Clippers. What's this?
No. Just no. Just
get
no.
out of here.
With that, we're going to end the pod. no, I mean,
I didn't say that, by the way, for our podcast listeners. I was reading
the
chat.
We're just reading a comment. It's all good. It's all well and good. You guys beat us once. We beat y'all once. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Y'all got to get there first, though. Y'all in the playing race right now. So that's all I got.
I respect the Mavs a lot. They've looked really good after their trade deadline.
I think they're like 6-4 in their last 10 now. So like, they've gone a little bit of
they cooled off a little bit.
Did they? How'd they do against?
They started. I don't know. I did see the Nuggets are losing, by the way, to the Suns. Just to throw that out there.
Shout out.
The 14 point lead. So, but the Nuggets are on a 10-2 run.
Stupid day it is. There it is. Yeah, I mean, the Pacers beat the Mavericks today, dude. Like, I'm not worried about the Mavericks.
They
did.
They were doing so well after the trade deadline. I was like, I thought they were going to be juggernauts. They definitely cooled off.
Yeah, no, I mean, they still got a good team. Like, they got good roster construction, but, like, so do we. Like, I'm chilling. I'm not worried about it. But at the top for another day, we'll definitely top playoff matchups. Probably Friday, with our guest we have coming on, Brett Usher is returning to the podcast. I will be dropping all the Usher references that I possibly can. Ask him how he enjoyed the Super Bowl, all the corny dad jokes that you can think of. Talking playoff matchups, discussing the Trailblazers and the Heat games. Hopefully wins. Hopefully bounce back wins for the Thunder. Until then, we'll see you guys on Friday. Hope you all have a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always, Thunder up.
Thunder up. Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.